I'm going to read Psalm 23. It's a testimony of David, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The psalmist says he guides me in paths of righteousness, and we're going to be thinking about paths and the paths that we take in life. When I was a lad, I used to help out on the family farm at home, and I was the youngest of three boys, and Dad used to call me Nipper or Nip, and he'd say at the end of the day, "Nip, go and get the cows in for milking, will you?" And I used to go down the road, open the gate where I knew the cows were, and I would stand at the gate and call them, "Hoi, hoi, hoi, come on, Dad, come on, Dad, come on, Dad." And what would they do? They would come way up from the field. They knew my voice. They knew my being, my presence. And they were not afraid. And they would come up to the gate and up the road into the farmyard. If I went over it, as I often did, especially on a summer's evening, I'd go over the farm sometimes to see the rest of the livestock, especially the sheep. And if normally you go into a field of sheep and they don't know you, they will herd up, they will gather up into a bunch. But when I go, when I was a lad, they knew me. And they just stand where they were, and I would be able to check around the field and just see that everything was okay. And yes, even though I was 13, 14, a young lad, they knew me, they knew my voice. And that reading from John comes back to me when I think of the days that I spent before I left home on the farm. Livestock, and even your pets, they know you, don't they? Your dogs, your cats, they... But if a stranger knocks at the door or comes up the garden path, they're very wary. Yes, they have an understanding of who is who. And we have a shepherd, and we know his voice, and we're not afraid. So, in Matthew's gospel, in the readings there, we heard Jesus say to men, "Come, follow me. Come, follow me." Jesus invited them to take a new path in their life. And that path was to follow him. Not just for a day, not just for a week. Jesus didn't have that in mind. This was life-changing. When he said, "Come, follow me," it was life-changing. He knew that he was going to change their life. Their life was going to take a new path. They were to follow him. This time of the year, of course, many people go on holiday. They visit new places. They search out places, and they visit family and friends. As members of the National Trust, Jen and I get much pleasure in walking the grounds of the large estates, now in the hands of the National Trust. Large estates once owned by wealthy families, but now open to the public to explore and to enjoy. I often wonder what the forefathers who owned those estates would think now if they came back and saw all those people going anywhere over the estate. Because I guess when they ran the estate, visitors were not welcome, strangers were not welcome on their land. But with the National Trust taking over many of these large estates, that has changed, hasn't it? And in recent months, we have spent many happy hours at Wimpole Hall, Ickworth Park, Anglesey Abbey, Sheringham Park, Felbrigg Hall, very topical Felbrigg at the moment, with what's been going on up there in the last few days, Arlington Court in North Devon, and Sherborne Park in Gloucestershire. Sometimes we're on our own, Jen and I, but also other times with our family, and especially our four grandchildren, if possible. The great acreages have many paths to follow, through pastures, woodland, and along beside the streams and the lakes. I know that many people find pleasure in walking the footpaths still open in this part of the country. In fact, I know David Payne takes them out on a Thursday, and I know one or two people who go with him, and what pleasure they get on walking footpaths. And some people also join the battle to ensure that landowners keep the paths open for public access. On the family farm in Devon, which is still in the hands of the family, my brother farms it, and his wife, all the fields have names. Dilly Down, because it's quite a hilly field, that one. Football Field, where the local Winkley village team used to play for many, many years before they had a recreation ground created. Quarry Field, where all the local residents of the village used to go and put their waste into the quarry in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And also Path Field. Path Field because it's got a footpath right across the middle, and that path is still there, and people have access to it and can walk. And also, right the way through the farm, there is a lane, which is a public right-of-way and always has been. And that carries on beyond our farm to the next farm and so on. And years ago, of course, these footpaths and these rights-of-way were very, very important. School children would come from the neighbouring farms, the farm workers' children to the village school. Housewives and others would come to the village shop via those footpaths. On a Sunday, people would go to church, or the youngsters would go to Sunday school, again along these footpaths. And then sometimes from out of the village, delivery men would take a horse and cart if they were delivering coal or something like that, and they would use the lane and the footpath. Yes, paths. Sometimes in choosing a path to follow at the National Trust property, we have to consider those travelling with us and the capabilities of those travelling with us, especially when the grandchildren were younger and we had pushchairs. Now it's more taking into account how far the grandchildren can walk and any obstacles that we might have to overcome, such as streams, ditches, stiles, and the like. But yes, when out with the grandchildren, especially in woodland, they have a tendency to go ahead, don't they, and explore before we get there. And they will take a turning down another path, and we sometimes have to say, no, 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 we're not going that way. Come on, wait for us, wait for us. You're not going that way, we're not going that way. Pathways, ways to go and explore. Which way to go is not just a decision when we're out on our walks, but also in our lives. We need time to ponder, to spend time with God, to try and discern the way he wants us to go at any given time in our life. Jesus calls us to follow him. He does not compel us to follow him. He does not drive us, but rather leads us. Sometimes you'll hear parents say, you will do as I tell you to their children. Well, our Lord doesn't use that ploy or threat. He calls us to follow where he leads. He does not bribe us with false promises, but only says, follow me. If we do, he will give us all we need for our journey through life. may not be an easy journey. I'm not saying it's an easy journey, and we know it's not an easy journey from our own experience. There will be struggles. There will be obstacles along the way, but nothing that we cannot overcome if we remain trusting in him. Very often, our walk with Jesus will be a joyful one, shared with fellow believers. We picture the walks that Jesus had with his followers, with his disciples, and the breaks that they would take to sit in a field or on a mountainside or by a lake, and they would share fellowship and friendship together, like we had this morning at Ridgewell, like you had this morning here, and as we have this evening. Yes, some paths are well used and well worn. Last week at Anglesey Abbey, Jen and I joined many other children, parents, and grandchildren on a walk about a mile long on a wide grass fairway. We were making our way to an adventure area in Woodland, which our daughter and her two boys had visited once before, but we had never visited it, so we thought we would make it. And because of the school holidays, many youngsters with their parents and grandparents were going the same way, so we joined them. It was an exciting walk with the children, animated, running about, sharing their friendship with one another, and adults chatting away. And I pictured the scene that was recorded in St. Luke chapter 2 of Jesus' parents, along with a large group of friends, returning from Jerusalem, where they had been up to the feast of the Passover. In all their excitement, they had not realized that the 12-year-old Jesus had remained in Jerusalem. He was found 3 days later in the temple courts talking and listening to the teachers of the law. When reprimanded by his mother, Jesus replied, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus, even at 12 years old, was starting on a new path in his young life. His Father's business. Not carpentry that Joseph did, no, but his Father's business, his Heavenly Father's business. A path that only he would follow. We think at this time of the year of many of our young people and children changing schools, going to upper school, university or college, or taking up their first job. One of the girls who lived near us said that on her last day at Burton End, before she goes to Manor, many of them were in tears. And even one of the teachers was in tears because they were moving on and not knowing what they were going into at Castle Manor. I said, "Well, there's a funny bloke at Castle..." No, sorry, Tom. Yes, quite challenging, isn't it? Quite challenging and sometimes overwhelming to move on, to leave home, to go on a college, university campus away from mum and dad and the rest of the family. Very challenging. A fresh path in life which needs courage to face. And I might add, our prayers for them. Our prayers for them. Yes, we also have to encourage others in their pathway, both by prayer and any assistance which we are able to offer. Last week at Anglesey Abbey, on one of the walks, we met a man, probably our age, he was a granddad, and he was lost. He'd got a phone, he'd spoken to his wife, she was somewhere, but he didn't know where that was, and he didn't know how to get to her. And he was lost. We don't know the reason the man was separated from his loved ones, but we gave him instructions as we thought where his wife and probably the grandchildren were. Maybe he wanted to explore a path that the others did not want to. I don't know. Maybe they were anxious to get to somewhere else and left him, didn't wait for him. We don't know. But he was lost. He was separated from his loved ones. And I was reminded of the parable of the prodigal son who wandered off on a path of his own choosing. His father didn't stop him. He let him go. But it all went wrong for him, didn't it? And he became very lost, unhappy, and alone. Thankfully, then, he chose a path of reconciliation with his family, especially his father. We know the father was waiting and watching for him and welcomed him home with forgiving love. I hope the wife of the man we found lost did exactly the same, welcomed him back and forgave him. But the path of reconciliation is a very important path for us all to take at some point in life. Reconciliation with family, with neighbours, but the most important, reconciliation with God. Some paths are well used and well worn. But we need to ask ourselves sometime, are we still following Jesus? Have we lost his leadership? Or are we meaninglessly wandering? Where are we going? Do we know? Is Jesus still ahead of us? Are we following him? When we left the parents and the children in the woodland play area that we eventually arrived at, Jen and I wandered along paths in the wood. But other than a vague sense of direction, we had no idea really where we were heading and which path to take. We passed a large notice board at one point where children were invited to chalk up what wildlife they had seen. Butterflies, birds, blackbirds, thrush, all sorts of different birds. Insects, squirrels. And the last entry, some child had written, old people. That made us smile. That made us smile. When these two old people continued on their walk, we eventually came across a sign which pointed us to where we wanted to go. A sign which, yes, that's where we need to go, and that's the direction we need to take to get there. So that's good. So we were then back on course. And I thought of Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word, the Lord's word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That lamp or light shines on our path as we read and study his word, when we open our Bibles. It shines on our path as we discuss that word with others in various house groups or Bible study groups. It shines on our path when we come to church and hear the word preached. It shines on our path as we listen to services on the radio, which we do quite frequently, and watch songs of praise. It shines on our path as we listen to the testimonies of other believers and hear their experiences. It shines on our path as we spend time in prayer and reflection. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Sometimes the path forward is not visible or plausible, and can lead to doubt and fear and even distress. In the book of Exodus, we read how the children of Israel were led by God out of slavery, out of Egypt. He led them by day in a pillar of cloud, which went before them, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people for them to follow. But then we know that the Egyptians had a change of heart and they pursued the children of Israel. And they could see them coming, that great army of the Egyptians. But also in front of them loomed up the Red Sea. And there was no obvious way forward and certainly no obvious way back. And they were terrified. Terrified, but not Moses, God's chosen leader. For still he was in communion with God. and trusted God for the way ahead, even though there seemed no way ahead or no way back. And we are all aware, of course, how through Moses' trust and obedience, a path to safety was opened up. Sometimes on a path, on a walk, Jen and I will decide on a path that hasn't been used. It's recently, it's overgrown, it's got brambles, it's got nettles, but we felt we want to go down there and we'll take a stick and we'll make our way through. Cut our way through. And it opens up. And eventually there's a wonderful scene to delight us and to make it all worthwhile. And in life also, we face those obstacles, those brambles, those nettles, that criticism, that scepticism in our path of faith, in our walk of faith. Not all pathways are signposted or easy to travel along. And we know we follow one, but we know we follow one who has traveled this way before and knows our concerns. We read there, didn't we, in that gospel reading, from Matthew chapter 9, how Jesus faced criticism because he went to Matthew's house and ate with him and with other tax collectors and, in the eyes of the Pharisees, sinners. Jesus faced a lot of criticism. His pathway often was criticized. It wasn't an easy path to follow. Sometimes a familiar path is closed. We make good progress and then there's a difficulty. There's illness or there's a death of a loved one and our path is not clear anymore. We don't know quite how to go forward. No access and we are left puzzled and maybe fearful of our next move and how to proceed further. There may be a wait before we know the future journey. But if we remain in the Lord, we shall be guided forward. I want just to read to you from Acts chapter 16. Paul's vision of the man of Macedonia. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of the Lord would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so, there may be a wait before we know where to go and which way to go. But if we remain like Paul, trusting in the Lord, we shall be guided forward. We do not all travel the same paths of life. And the pathways we follow will change with the passage of time. Yet for all of us, the lesson is to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus, who says to us, whatever the circumstances, follow me. Follow me.